Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Right. Okay, welcome back, friends. Welcome back. In studio with us, we're talking fishing. Fishing for this segment. We love fishing.
Yes.
Don't we, Gordon?
We love fishing.
We love fishing. Are you plugged in, my friend, talking that mic?
How about now?
That's good. Now I can hear you. All right, so Patty Meals is a Rotarian and chairperson for Fishing with Rebecca. Is that the name of this?
Kids Free Fishing Day is what we're here for.
What's
fishing with Rebecca is an adaptive day special for our special residents.
Gotcha. Okay. We're here to talk about fishing with kids, but I also want to talk about your fishing experiences here. I've never had the topic of fishing on this show in over 3 years. So Patty Meals, Rotarian and chairperson, and one of the codfathers of the Rotary Kids Fishing Day is here, and that's Gordon Evans. Gordon likes to fish, right, Gordon?
I love to fish. That's why we are involved with Kids Free Fishing.
Where do you fish around here?
Well, there's a number of great spots. It just depends what you're looking for. You got the Great Truckee River going right through town. You have Pyramid Lake up to the north. And then you go into the Sierras, you got all kinds of lakes that just pop up and give you the opportunity to go fishing or learn how to fish.
You know, it's funny you ask that question around here, and you rarely get the best answer because people, they don't want to give up their favorite honey holes. They don't want to tell you, as they call them, honey holes. Psst. I say Verdi. You know, a couple of ponds there in the Truckee.
Right.
There's Crystal Peak Park for fishing, I think it's called. A bunch of bluegill and even some trout that, you know, swim around, anything you drop in. And Wilson Pond in Washoe Valley. You been there, Gordon?
I know where it is. We went out there and did some test runs on it, but that's kind of designed for people learning how to fly fish and things like that. Little private pond, but it's a beautiful spot.
And Davis Creek has a pond, and Galena Creek Park,
right.
Maryland's Pond out there at Galena. The fish bite at anything, it seems. And San Rafael has a pond with fish.
Didn't know that either. Department of Wildlife has done a great job of really,
they stock them all.
They stock them all, and they do a great job of maintaining and educating, and that's the purpose that we're here for today, is just to invite people to a great event that's been going on for almost 25 years now at Sparks Marina, so we can promote, and it's all about teaching people how to fish, and the experience from that is just phenomenal.
Is there a lot to teach about fishing? You're going to say yes, aren't you?
I'm going to say yeah, we all have different methods that we use for fishing, and that's really the fun part of it, the challenge of being able to try different methods of going after them, because they just don't jump on your hook.
I heard that at Crystal Peak Park, they just jump anything you drop in. So you know, I'm giving up all my good spots here. I can't believe it. Okay, so next Saturday is a big deal. It's the 21st annual Kids Free Fishing Day at the Sparks Marina. License free fishing day for kids.
Well, it's not only for kids, it's for the entire state of Nevada. That is a free day to fish for anybody in Nevada, not just kids.
Oh, okay.
We wrapped the program, got founded between the Department of Wildlife, Sparks Rotary, and City of Sparks, came together for the kids in our community. But that's a great day for anybody. I don't care if you know how to fish or not. It's not about that. It's about just getting out and getting close to nature and enjoying the great state of Nevada.
And yeah, you do need a fishing license in Nevada, just like California. Nevada license can be purchased online. It's really easy through the Nevada Department of Wildlife, and you can keep your license on your phone. You don't have to, like, print the license, which is really good. the state restrictions on tackle are, if you compare it to California, we're pretty loose on the restrictions on tackle.
I think you want to remember that that day is you don't have to have a license.
That's right. That's why I'm bringing this up. Okay. Yeah. But otherwise, you do need the license. Oh, yeah. You just, you know, respect the water and the fish. And just be wary of, if you're fishing, just be wary of the state line with California, because their restrictions on tackle are a lot higher. Okay, so how do people get in on the, see, now the name of it is Kids Free Fishing Day, but you say adults too.
This event is for the kids. They must be accompanied by an adult if they're under 17 years old. But it is specifically for kids. But as Gordon said, in the state of Nevada, the second Saturday in June is always free fishing without a license for anybody. So.
And this draws over 1,000 people a year?
Right.
Today it does. Today it does. We started 20-plus years ago, not knowing. I was actually the first chairman of this little program. And some great Rotarians that we have in our club come together with the city of Sparks, and this whole thing was born, and out of it from 20-some years ago to now is what graduated from a couple hundred kids to over 1,300.
Well, you know why it's grown, Gordon? The fishing poles are all provided free, along with the food.
That's hot dogs, that's ice cream, well, sodas. Tell me,
so, okay, we're on the 21st annual. Tell me how this started. Why? And who did it?
Well, we can. The way it started actually was
Rich Ganabin
was an employee at the City of Sparks Recreation situation, and this opportunity came up for a free day of fishing, and one thing led to another, and
why did he want a free day of fishing?
Well, that came up because the Department of Wildlife was promoting, you know, people just to get out and go fishing for that day. And so we took the opportunity to have a free day to fish, which no cost to the fishermen. We had the City of Sparks, who could put together the pond there at in Sparks, the marina. Spit. And they connected with us at Rotary, and we had the manpower. And so it was a combination of manpower, city influence, Department of Wildlife working together to figure out how to make this thing work. And then what we had to do is we had to go out and we had to get some sponsors, because we started with absolutely nothing.
I haven't been to this. Could you paint a picture of some of the stories or some of the kids, some of the wonderful things that you witnessed with a certain family, a certain youngster? What was one of your favorite memories, Patty, of this free fishing day for kids?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, to see the smiles. No, I can't.
I can.
Yeah, Gordon is down there as a coach with the kids.
So. I was the first chairman, and I was walking amongst the kids as we were seeing how this was all going together on the very first day. And I was at the end of the line, so to speak, and I see this lady with two children, and they were struggling because they were all scrambled together. That's the fun part. When you bring people who don't know how to fish together, they make a lot of messes, and I went down to help them. And these two little boys were there, and we were taking away the mess that they had created and talking things over. And I, of course, my gift is to start asking a lot of questions, like, where's your dad? And, oh, he's in Arizona. And all of a sudden, I sensed this was a mom with two little boys, and she was mom and dad. And it was right away I could tell that. So I said, hey, when we're all cleaned up here, are you going to come back, and are you going to go fishing again? And they said, well, we can't. And I said, why? They said, we don't have any poles. I said, yes, you do. These are your poles right here. These are yours. And they just lit up like little Christmas trees, okay? So happy. And I said, I tell you what, go back to our bait station that we have set up, and you tell them, Gordon said, hey, you need to get some bait, and I'm coming back, and I'm going to go fishing.
And God bless you.
Okay, well, wait a minute. They take off. They're going up the hill. They stop dead in their tracks. They stop. They turn around. They come back to me, and they said, can I get some for my mom, too? And I knew at that point we were onto something with Kids Free Fishing, because we were going to provide a service which proved itself out today. We have people who show up that don't even know what a fishing pole is, whatever. We're teaching people how to fish, you know, kind of like it says, we can feed you a fish or teach you how to fish. It's about teaching them how to fish. But the most rewarding thing, John, is this. When I see a son come or a daughter come with their parents who don't know how to fish, and we put them all together and we help them fish, and that's what this little hat's about I got in my hand here, is that we have coaches that'll sit there and help you and teach you and work with you to help you have a wonderful experience.
Gordon, tell me some of the fishing tips that you've said are given to kids. I want to hear some fishing tips that have worked for you, that share your knowledge on that. Well,
we had to learn real quick that when you plant fish in a big pond, they can get away. So we had to create a little separate special place for those fish so they couldn't get away. That was one of the first things that we learned. So we acquired and got into the net business to where we could set up a net to keep the fish close enough so those kids could experience and actually catch a fish. And when you bring fish from strange water to strange water, it's a different paradigm, which the fish don't like to bite so much. So we had to educate the fish, too, on how to be cooperative and bite. We have so many donations over the years. We've had great big trout that were transferred from Lander County that come in just to be a special reward for those that caught those fish and stuff like that.
Well, this starts this coming Wednesday. The Nevada Department of Wildlife is going to be stocking the marina with 7,000 trout on Wednesday. Are they doing this just for your event?
That's directly right. And let me tell you that from the first time that we did this, we used to bring a little truck up with about 1,500 fish and try to put them in there by hand. And now to see anybody that has the time on Wednesday should just witness how the fishing game puts that 7,000 fish into that pond. It's worth the show, worth the time to go see that.
Let me ask you this, because when they do this sometime, they stock the fish with thousands of fish, trout, whatever.
Right.
More than once, this has happened at the marina where there's a die-off. The fish die. What is the problem with that? How has this happened? They say there's been a water temperature inversion or something that kills the fish. What's the problem at the marina?
Well, it's not only a problem at the marina. It can happen anywhere where water becomes stagnant or whatever. And that's just a condition. Typically, that's associated with weather. Okay? When the Department of Wildlife plants those fish, they're pretty certain now that they're not going to get caught in one of those events should it happen. And it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. You're right, John.
Yeah, well, they're getting wise to it, and I don't think chances are that it'll happen again. They're good people, Nevada Department of Wildlife.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's Wednesday. We have Thursday and Saturday to talk about next. Folks, if you have any questions about or tips you can pass on about fishing, folks, 884-9910 or text it. Gordon and Patty are here. We're going to talk up the coming up Rotary Kids Fishing Day on Saturday. I'm John Potter, live and local, back in a few for one more segment with these two on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1020.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk Station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back, John Potter, live and local with Patty Meals and Gordon Evans are here just to get you to come out and enjoy fishing with kids at the marina. The Sparks Area Rotary Club's inviting everybody, especially youth, to join them at the Sparks Marina this Saturday, a fun day of fishing and other fun activities. What other fun activities? What could you possibly have up top? All the fishing.
There's all kinds of activities in the parking lot. We have vendors come out from the police department, the fire department, Tom was there handing out bait. There are fishing games, face painting.
This has gotten so
for the kids to do.
Big.
Yes.
All necessary fishing gear provided free of charge for area youth. Kids have to be accompanied by an adult. A registration right there at the door. Just show up. The thing starts at 7 o'clock in the morning, goes to 11 o'clock in the morning at Sparks Marina. And coaches are going to be there to help you catch a fish. Gordon, are you one of the coaches?
Absolutely. I've been one of the main coaches from day one, because that's really the gift that I can bring to the table, because I've been able to be involved in fishing just since I've been a little boy, okay?
God bless you.
And so we teach the coaches, but that's what this yellow cap that I'm wandering around here with is about. We can identify. We're there to protect the kids, have a safe time. That's what the coaching's all about. So that's quite a major part of the event, is to have those.
It's actually a multi-day event. I just talked about Wednesday, when the Nevada Department of Wildlife is going to stock the Sparks Marina with 7,000 trout on Wednesday. And then Thursday is Adoptive Day. Patty, what is that?
Adoptive Fishing Day for our special needs residents. And it came about, I want to say, I don't even know the exact year, maybe 2013, 14, 15.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
One of our cod fathers, Don Welsh, has a daughter with special needs. She's in a power wheelchair, also an athlete and a singer in the Notables band. And we had the principal of Marvin Piccolo School as a member of our Rotary Club. They decided we should have a day specially for our special needs kids of all ages. And we started that year. I don't know, our average attendance is anywhere from 20 to 130, 140 kids throughout the day.
And they get first shot at the fish.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's okay, yeah.
But like Gordon says, sometimes it takes the fish time to adapt. So there have been years where they haven't caught a lot of fish.
Yeah, well, they've got first crack. You're right, John. Mm-hmm. But they also have the best spot on the pond. It's a nice big dock that's sitting there for them, and we all get together out there on that dock, and it's hilarious, because when they start catching those fish, they just light up. I mean, it's just a joy in their eyes that you can't put a price tag on.
So they catch the fish. What do they do with the fish? Do they take it home and eat it?
On Adaptive Day, not so much. Sometimes the mothers say, here, can you do something with it? And people will tell them to just take them home and throw them in the garbage. But
no.
No, well, we try to put them back, because
we have cleaning stations there at the event, and we do
clean
have
clean out the fish, taking the scales off.
Right.
So they can take it home and cook it?
They gut them, yeah. They gut them and cook them.
Yeah, well, I know. We used to have a place in Canada. We'd go there, go fishing, and we would skin the fish and get the guts out and make pike and bass and perch at our lake. Now, these are trout. Trout's good eating, right?
Very good eating, and they're also, the size of them, they don't have to skin them. The skin's actually one of the better part of the fish.
But I've been told that it's wise not to eat fish from anywhere in Reno or Sparks. Is that right? I mean, the water quality. I heard it's debatable whether or not you can eat the fish in the Truckee, but the good-eating fish are really not around here. I think the marina is kind of questionable. But these are new fish. They just put them in on Wednesday.
Right.
So
right.
They should be okay. But I hear if you want to eat the fish, you go to Donner, Pyramid Lake, and Tahoe. I think the closer you get to Tahoe, the more eatable the fish is. I may be wrong, but I heard Boca, Stampede, Frenchman, Davis, Gray Eagle, and somebody, that's where you can eat the fish. Now, what do you think of Virginia Lake and Truckee and Sparks Marina? Is that eatable fish?
I'd say from my viewpoint, the fish at the marina are eatable. Personally, one of my favorite lakes you mentioned was Davis. I fish that lake a lot, and believe me, I eat every fish I catch out of there.
What fish does Davis have?
I'm primarily bass fishing out of Davis.
Bass but there's, is good.
But trout is very prominent in the lake of Davis also, and there's also catfish in Davis.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I have a friend who was going to go to Lahontan this weekend. He likes Lahontan, but they just put out this alert today, I think it came out. There's harmful algae bloom at Lahontan right now.
That's true at Lahontan, but also Lahontan is, receives a lot of water from the mining industry along the stream that feeds it.
Really? Like Washoe Lake did.
Yeah, so that's the reason that a lot of people are reluctant to take any. You can catch the fish there, but a lot of people don't eat the fish out of Lahontan, as far as I know.
All right, you got a minute. Let's talk about, you got a minute. Let's get those people to come out.
I just jumped in about Adaptive Day again. It's Thursday, June 12th from 10 to 1.
Uh-huh.
We do have a new partner this year with RTC Access that's offering individuals to call for advanced transportation to and from their house to the marina on that day. So I just want to promote that.
Yeah.
Along with the sponsors of all of both of our
Okay, well,
days.
Saturday, it starts at 7 a.m., goes to 11 a.m., Sparks Marina. Everybody's invited. You can register right there and go fishing. I'm going to leave you with a fishing joke.
Good.
I have 6 fishing rods, and my wife sells them all. How many do I have left, Gordon?
You got
I have,
me.
I have 6 fishing rods. My wife sells them all. How many do I have left? Patty?
12.
Yes, because I lied about only having 6.
Right.
Right. Patty knows. Patty knows.
Patty knows everything.
Good joke, John.
Have a great event.
Thank you very much.
Both Thursday and Saturday. Thank you so. Thank you for what you do. This takes a lot of work. This takes a ton of work. So God bless you.
That's what
and folks.
Does.
Get out there for Kids Free Fishing Day, Saturday, Sparks Marina. You're all invited, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Entire families, come on out. Free fishing rods to fish with and food and a lot of hot dogs and booths in Sparks Marina Saturday, next Saturday. All right, thanks, 14. Guys. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Get a break for Fox News. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 10:31.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It's The Weekend with John Potter.
I wish I lived in the golden age.
99.1 FM and in Lyon County, 92.3 FM News Talk.
Okay, all right. It's 10:37. I'm getting all these texts about something I said that wasn't politically correct this morning about the Riverside Artist Lofts. I'm not going to apologize, but I did not meet. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, you folks out there, you artists at the Riverside Artist Lofts. I sincerely, I'm not going to apologize. I don't apologize, but I feel bad that you feel bad. So I hope that takes care of it. So stuck my foot in my mouth again. In the studio, we're talking politics with Brianna Kalin. And John Crawford, this is the Douglas County Republican Committee. Yay! And we have so much to talk about. First off, I want to get to Nevada legislature. I went on kind of a rant at 9:20 this morning. Brianna, you missed it. Oh, it was so good. Right, John?
It was lovely. Yeah.
It was
It was just the tip of the iceberg.
So, oh my gosh, folks, the governor has racked up already 48 vetoes. It sounds like a lot, but before we had 75 vetoes.
Right. I think we're well on track to far exceed that number, and I think the weekend is still quite early with a lot of ink in his pen, I would assume.
You expect more over 75 vetoes from the governor over the Nevada legislature session?
I do, absolutely. There's quite a few bills that we're still promoting him to veto, and you know, for example, AB 597, you know, that was,
let's get to these. All right.
Oh goodness, you know, it was a late entry bill by Yeager, and you know, it seems like he doesn't get he's not hearing enough from the public. You know, we had question 3 and told them heartily we don't want open primaries and we don't want ranked choice voting. Instead, he decided to bring an open primaries bill as a standalone bill, obviously, in the legislature, and it passed through committee, and we're waiting for the governor We expect him to.
What's in this bill?
It essentially allows anyone who is nonpartisan, they're not registered with a particular party, right?
That one.
To select any ballot of their choice for the primary.
To vote in any primary.
That's right. And that's deeply problematic. You know, a party, whether it be Republican or Democrat or any other party out there, should have the opportunity to choose their own leadership.
It has been proven in other states that Democrats will vote in Republican primaries just to jinx it by voting up the least popular candidate in a primary so that person would be the one the Democrats run against.
You know what I find?
It's been
ironic.
Proven. They've done this in other states.
You know what's deeply ironic, John, is this bill is coming from a group of people, the Democrats, and they're saying, you know, we want to make sure that the electorate has a voice. Well, I'm not sure where they were calling for this when they forced Kamala Harris on all the voters, you know, without giving them a primary. But now they want to mess with the Republican primary. So
irony, you're telling me they say that we're attacking democracy and Trump's a king. And acting like a king, what the heck do you think they did, those Democrats, by picking a presidential candidate that you did not get to vote in a primary for? The kingmakers decided on Biden, despite the primaries.
That's right. The rules for thee, but not for me.
That's not a democracy.
That's right. So we want to sound a clear alarm to the governor. You know, we want him to veto this. That is deeply the choice of the people within Nevada and Douglas County and our rural counties. We want to keep our primaries closed. If you want to have a choice in the Republican primary, be a Republican. If you want a voice in the Democrat Party, be a Democrat. That's the way it should be.
So, Brianna, he hasn't vetoed this one yet?
He has not. It's at his desk. And
what's he waiting for?
a new pen, I suppose, with 48 vetoes.
Well, it does take time because I notice if you look at the governor's response when he vetoes, these are very well-written paragraphs, and it takes a while to compose them.
That's right. We're also waiting for the library bill, the 416.
Now, that's the one where who gets to choose what books get taken out of the library, right?
The librarian does. The school boards have no say. The parents have no say. And, in fact, for all of your...
The librarian who is not elected...
That's right.
...has the say, and not the people who were elected...
That's right.
...say in the school board.
And for all of your listeners who are parents, if they object to a book in the library, or the school board does... They have to take the school to court. They have to pay for a legal battle so their child can be protected against woke ideologies and harmful content. That just is simply outrageous, and we should feel enraged by that. But you know, the good news is the bill that would require opt out legislation instead of opt in legislation that failed, that was vetoed, and so that's a win for parents. So they still have the ultimate say on sexual education within the content of their child's curriculum. So that's an excellent move.
All right, John, what do you say about these?
It's amazing what's going on. I refer to it as the garbage that our Satan incarnate party is thrusting upon Nevada. Unfortunately, we have to manage. Governor Lombardo is resigned to having to govern through veto. No state, no government should run that way. But that's where we are right now. And the time they're spending on frivolous activities and bills and not addressing truly important matters of the state is just beyond comprehension.
You too. What is this deal about the Democrat senators in the Nevada legislature locking out Republican Lieutenant Governor? They locked him out of the floor session. I don't know if that means he was physically locked.
They wouldn't let him into the... That's right. And several of our Republican legislators used the power of the filibuster, we can say, to make sure that he was able to regain entry.
The guy was actually banging on the door to get in?
He was locked out.
The lieutenant governor locked out. Any response from the Democrats why they did it?
I haven't heard anything.
They're trying to hush it up, right?
That's right.
Well,
they tried to push through a couple resolutions at the end, get some of their own business done, and it wasn't going to happen with Stavros Anthony, Lieutenant Governor, leading the session. So when they broke for recess, I don't know why Stavros left the chamber, maybe to go to the restroom or get a cup of coffee or what have you. They locked the door on him. On purpose. And the sergeant at arms wouldn't let him in. They took over the meeting and started passing through their two resolutions they wanted to get through,
which were kind of clandestine resolutions
of themselves.
Real democracy there.
People should look at that in the same light as, you know, Bowman and the U.S. Congress pulling a fire alarm. This is petty antics, and it shouldn't fly in a house of...
Lieutenant Governor posted, it was, quote, shameful, disgraceful behavior. And again, it's not so much how slanted and biased the local media is, it's what they don't report, and they will not report this.
That's right.
They don't report a lot. Where were the Republicans when they did that? Hey, somebody opened the door?
Right, well, the Republicans... did what they can, and the power, like I said, of the filibuster, making sure that they spoke long enough on those resolutions to allow the resolution of allowing Lieutenant Governor back into the chamber.
All right, Brianna, get back to what we want vetoed.
I am thrilled, speaking of a veto, that this July we're still going to be red, white, and blue. Muslim month is canceled. It got vetoed.
The governor, why doesn't the other side realize this? These are proclamations. This day is this day. This day is Italian Day. Those are proclamations. Those are not laws, bills. So that was his only reason. That wasn't the only one he vetoed.
Oh, no.
Naming a certain day for somebody.
Right. The Indigenous Peoples Day was also vetoed as well.
Well, actually, his opposing viewpoint on that is that it should be on its own day and not overtake Columbus Day.
That's right. And, you know, maybe a controversial position. He vetoed Women's Veterans Month, which I was quite pleased with. I'm a veteran.
It's a proclamation.
That's right. And I'm a woman veteran, and I was very pleased with that. You know, we all wear the same uniform. You know, we all serve in the same service. So I'm honored to share the same day with my fellow brothers in arms. And so I was pleased that he stood for that, and shot down a covert woke bill. And taking a stand in that matter.
Well, I guess the reason to make these a law, like Muslim Day, would be to put through another national holiday or state holiday, right? Is that the ultimate ultimate goal? So we're going to have all these state holidays for all the minority.
Right.
Okay.
We're going to need our own calendar for all these proclaimed days. But what's infuriating is where is the amount of effort and the money that they spent to try to push through these proclamation days instead of addressing the housing crisis, the education crisis.
Yeah, I'm about to say there's some important stuff they could spend their time with.
That's right. You know, especially with our legislative structure the way it is, there are some real issues affecting Nevadans, and they seem to be blind to those while trying to push their woke ideologies, and that should be infuriating to every citizen. And 2026 is coming along. You know, there's quite a few legislators that should find a employment elsewhere, I believe.
Bravo, Brianna. One more segment with you two. I'm John Potter, live and local. Folks, do you have any thing to say about the vetoes or the bills or the Nevada legislature as a whole? And there's more to talk about with the Douglas County Republican Committee up next. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1048.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio, KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, and live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
All right, John Potter here, live and local with Brianna and John, Douglas County Republican Committee back in Carson City. Craig just got a phone call that had nothing to do with what John Potter said about the Riverside Artist Lofts. We got one call that didn't want to complain about that. Craig, what was it?
Well, the call just came in from Jim. He's asking, the bill regarding guns outside polling places or at polling places, what has the governor done with that or has he even seen it yet?
Thanks, Craig. What do you guys... He What did he do? I thought he vetoed that. I thought that was in our news.
I saw he had vetoed that. I know he's vetoing any gun bill that infringes on the Second Amendment. I believe I read that, but I can't be 100% confident.
Brianna?
Well, we know that he vetoed AB 245, which is the unconstitutional gun control bill, which would prohibit firearms for anyone 21 years
that
of age
one.
Or less. We also know that he vetoed SB 89, which prevents persons convicted of an alleged hate crime, and they skewer the lines on that definition of owning a gun.
Well, yeah, and his response was correct. Like a verbal hate crime or somebody posting a sign has nothing to do with guns to begin with.
That
has no relation to it.
And we're still waiting he has not yet vetoed the polling place bill. So we know that he hasn't.
And that is no guns allowed within what, 100 feet?
Right, with at the location basically of a polling location, which I think is just another way to grab guns, because if it's outside of a federal building or a government building, there's no guns allowed anyway. So they're really just trying to creep into our gun amendment rights. We also know that we're waiting on SB 347, which would allow anyone on a mental health crisis, if a police officer pulls somebody over without having, clear training on this, they can say, okay, well, we believe we need to confiscate your guns. And so I fully expect that he'll veto those.
I don't know if the polling place one is a hill to die on, but John has something to say about what's going on today. Speaking of guns, go ahead.
Well, transitioning a little bit to the softer side of the business, and getting out of the drudgery of the legislature, which is unfortunate in this session. But first of all, I just want to open up with, given that June is Veterans Appreciation Month, I want to extend a great appreciation and all of our prayers to our veterans out there. We appreciate you and pray for you every day. Advise everybody to please stay informed by visiting our website at douglasnvgop.org and get a wealth of information from our website as to what's going on and link to the world from there.
And is that your office I see in Gardnerville on 395 in the strip mall?
Yeah.
On the left as you're going south?
In the Anchor Building, 1507.
I always wanted to stop in and get a bumper sticker.
Stop in.
Do you do that like in the old days? I remember going in the campaign office and getting the bumper sticker.
That's right. Get all the swag you want.
And what's going on today? This weekend is a fabulous gun show down at Douglas County Fairgrounds in the pavilion there. We have a team. Donna Tanner and her husband Mike are there right now with taking voter registrations. Great gun show. It's well booked up. It should be very active. It's ongoing today and tomorrow.
Is it going on right now?
Right now. Get out there and
what's the admission cost?
Enjoy your Second Amendment rights. And there's no admission cost.
Just are you? Oh, that's awesome.
Get in there and
a free gun show and
patronize the vendors and
where
enjoy
is it
yourself.
Again, John?
It's in the pavilion at the Douglas County Fairgrounds.
Right now.
Good. Right now.
All right, we got 3 minutes. 2 minutes, I'm sorry. Brianna, John,
yes.
Take it away.
Yes.
Okay. We also want to welcome anybody out there. Join our monthly meeting of the Douglas County Republican Central Committee at the Elks Lodge in Gardnerville. Our next meeting is this coming Thursday, June 12th at 6:30 at the Elks Lodge. And we have a featured speaker. Our featured speaker is none other than the infamous or famous John Potter is going to grace us with his presence and give us some great stories. So we're looking forward to that.
I got stories.
We got a lot of questions for you.
I got stories.
June 14th, right around the corner, 2 days after our meeting. So next Saturday is Carson Valley Days. And we're going to, Carson Valley Days theme this year is Jurassic Valley. A great event for the family and the kids and a great parade on the 14th. And the Douglas County Republicans will be out there with a fabulous float and look forward to seeing as many people as can get out and enjoy that event.
All right. Now, my speech, it's open to the public, right?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Right.
Come join us.
Thursday at...
Thursday, 6:30
at the Elks Club. And I'll be speaking local news media, run and hide.
A big event, a really big event. Mr. Jim McAuliffe, our chair of the town hall committee of our organization, has arranged for a fabulous town hall on July 16th at the community center in Gardnerville, and he's got a wonderful slate of participants. We have Senator Robin Titus, Assemblyman Ken Gray,
what a lineup!
Dan Coverly, Amy Bergens, our clerk treasurer for our county, and others, many others, that will be there to discuss what has the legislature done to us? What's the fallout? What's the ramifications? What can we expect? What can we do going forward? How do we manage in the new environment? And so kudos to Jim McAuliffe pulling this thing together. It's free of charge. We're going to have hot dogs and snacks, and we're looking forward to a big and Q&A phase in that as well.
You have all this stuff on your website, right?
Yes, and the events page will be launched shortly, so everyone in Douglas County and beyond will be able to see a prize for all of our donations.
DouglasNVGOP.org, and I love how you have the, you want to be a new member? Here's the form to fill out right on your website. So good to talk to you, Brianna and John, Douglas County Republican Committee, and I'll see you next Thursday.
Yes. Right.
Speaking at the Elks Club Gardnerville. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.